the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. As always, I have Dr. Jason Bond with me, and today we're going to talk about a host of things. But first, how about those dogs?
Well, you do what it takes to win, I guess. It doesn't have to be pretty, as long as you score more points than they do, right?
3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah. So, I don't know. They'll get it going. I mean, anytime you get a new coach, man, it just, you know, there's always stuff that you got to get everybody on the same page with.
But it does suck to be from Auburn today.
Well, I'm not at liberty to comment about that.
He could have been your coach. Just think about that.
Well,
y'all know Jason's a Razorback at heart.
Well, so was Bobby. And if I remember right, Bobby was a lot more on the Gus bus than I was at the time when we were looking for a coach.
Hindsight's 20/20. I don't know. You know, it's
we love all our listeners from Auburn. We do. If you're an Auburn fan, just it'll come around.
It could be worse. You could be an Arkansas fan like me and Jason.
Yeah, that's right. Or a Nebraska fan. They're really making some waves with their new coach.
Poor Florida State, man.
That would hurt. I didn't even realize they lost, man. They were ahead. I thought, dang, Miami taking it on the chin. Then I look at the score, like, whoop, what happened?
Whoops. Whoops. You know, so, but we have done a lot of talking about football. I guess if it ever cools down, we'll start talking about deer hunting. But, you know, it's still 90 degrees in the Delta. And with it being 90 degrees and a little bit of moisture, we got some weeds popping up out there. So Jason's going to tell us how to get rid of those little buggers.
Well, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about the post-harvest stuff, and I still, if I've gotten a call about post-harvest weed control, I can't specifically remember it. I probably have. It just hadn't been very many of them. This is just not a year where that's going to be a very big deal. But we are into October now, so ryegrass is going to be the thing that comes up now on everybody's mind.
Well, I think you wouldn't get in those calls because everybody's more worried about getting a crop out than killing anything.
Well, no question about that. I mean, that goes without saying. But, I mean, if you drive around, I mean, we've definitely made some progress since the last time that we recorded an episode when we were lamenting the fact that it was still raining. So at least the weather's cooperated well for us in the last couple weeks.
It's definitely amazing what you can do with some of these new big combines in 7 days.
Oh yeah, when you get free running, man, they can eat up some ground in a hurry.
And you know, we've had pretty late dew sets, so we've been able to run on up into the night for, I guess, the last couple of days. You look out this morning and the wind's blowing probably 10 to 12 miles an hour, so there really wasn't any dew when we woke up this morning, so we're going to eat it up pretty quick. And I know the cotton's getting picked rapidly too.
Yeah, the cotton's going down in a hurry too. And most of the cotton that I've heard about, at least, has been really good, so that's positive.
Yeah, I was kind of worried there for a minute with all those rains and stuff and how was it going to affect the cotton if it was going to string it out. But you know, today's varieties stay locked in there a little bit better than those old.
You know, that's really, I mean, you can notice it. I mean, it's like a noticeable difference than it was just a few years ago. I mean, that was always a huge concern. And now, not that it's not a concern, but the weather that we had, you would have expected that, you know, if it was 10 or 12 years ago.
And if it was 5 years ago, yeah, I would expect stuff to be strung out everywhere.
Right.
And, you know,
it's just not.
It's not. It's not. It's there. So, but anyway, I digress too much. Back to your ryegrass. So when you bring up ryegrass, and I talked about earlier, you know, we got weeds emerging now in the heat. That's not quite the case for ryegrass, is it?
But we did have that cool period, you know, week before last. And so what we know about ryegrass, and we've done this in our state, and it's published in the literature as well, but the kind of the frame of reference for ryegrass and germination and emergence is if you get 6 or 7 days, and naturally that's going to vary, but if you get a week or so with temperatures that are consistently below 90 and there's moisture available, then you're going to start having some emergence. We've sprayed the field where we do our research. We've sprayed it, so we've kind of zeroed that out, trying to kill some late summer weeds. So I don't have a good point of reference for it, but I'm certain that there's some out there, you know, in the world.
So when we talk about ryegrass emergence, when are you really critically looking for ryegrass emergence? Is it late October, early November? If you had to go scout today, when would you tell somebody, all right, now it's time to go look for ryegrass?
I'd probably give it a few more days, you know, and that's kind of what I had in my mind this morning when you and I were talking about, you know, what we wanted to record. Was I think by the time folks are listening to this, it's something that should be on their radar, assuming that they have time. But then it also varies, man. You know, we've had years, you know, you can go back to years where we've had those awful, cool, cloudy months of August, and we've gotten some ryegrass up in those years. And then, you know, that gets really bad even to this point, because you get some plants that are a couple months old, you know, behind some of those corn, early corn harvest, things like that, that can really get out of control. But in general, you know, in our geography, with September and October at least traditionally erring towards being pretty dry months, you don't have a lot of moisture. Usually it's going to be now, you know, into October, even November some years, if it's really dry, before we start seeing it come up.
Okay, and most of our ryegrass in the state is glyphosate resistant. When did y'all first document glyphosate resistance to ryegrass here in Mississippi?
Well, it wasn't y'all, because I wasn't here. It was actually right before I got here, but Dr. Dan Poston did that. Tom Eubank was in on it. Tom was in graduate school at the time. So it was right around here, you know, right here in Washington County was the first that they discovered. I think it, man, by it was either 04.
Years ago.
Well, no, it's
15.
Longer than that. It's either 04 or 05. You know, I think 05 is what I usually say, but I don't know that they didn't pick up some plants the year before. So we've, you know, we're well into our second decade fighting this problem, and I don't know that we've made a tremendous amount of progress on it. It's a really tough one to attack just because of the time frame. You know, it being a winter weed, it being a grass, and most of your winter weeds being broadleaves, so you got to attack it a little bit differently.
So when we're talking about, you know, ryegrass, and we're talking about attacking it differently, does it depend on what the next crop in rotation is going to be and how we attack it? I mean, I guess by that, am I saying, if I'm going into rice, do I attack ryegrass differently if I'm going into soybeans or corn or cotton?
I don't know if you attack it so much differently considering the crop that's going in the field for next year, but you may attack it differently considering the crop that's coming off of the field this year. Case in point, you know, you compare corn with cotton. All right, so if you have an early corn harvest, you know, and we talked previously about what do you do with the stubble and what do you do with the late emerging summer annual weeds? Well, what do you do with the ryegrass that's coming up too? Whereas in a cotton field, you know, we still got a lot of cotton fields that, one, may still have the crop in the field, and then if they don't, you know, may at least still have the stalk standing in the field with a lot of field work left to do. So the difference in the field work time, just traditional, not considering weed control, between a cotton or a field coming out of cotton compared with a field coming out of corn can be very different. And then you lump rice, you know, right into that same the category with cotton, and, you know, and then a traditional rice soybean rotation, soybeans would, you know, probably lean more toward the corn in the previous scenario.
So we're not going to change the way we manage based on the crop we're planting. We talked about glyphosate being resistant, not bringing anything to the table, or not bringing a lot to the table, because not every plant out there is resistant, correct?
You know, and back up for a second, because I don't want to leave people the wrong impression that you don't, our management doesn't change for the crop. I was thinking about management in the fall, but I think overall management would have to be adjusted. And thinking again about corn, just strictly with planting date, you know, you want to get it controlled earlier in a corn field. That'll be corn in the spring compared with maybe a cotton field again, just strictly with planting date. So, and you have fewer options, the fact that it's corn, you know, with your rotation intervals, things like that. And rice, you know, would go in that category, being a grass crop. So I don't want to give people the impression that, that the crop that we'll be planting is not important. But then, so to your second question about the resistance, most of it's glyphosate resistance. I mean, we've counted it, you know, the last time we counted, 72 out of 82 counties in Mississippi was glyphosate resistant populations. The clethodim resistance has gotten bad on us the last few years. So that's about six or seven counties in the Delta.
So hold up. You said clethodim resistance has gotten bad on us. I think most everybody knows that glyphosate is Roundup. For many out there might not know what clethodim is. So give us a few trade names.
So that's, you know, the traditional one would be Select. You know, it's been around for a long, long time. Select Max. There's, you know, all of the retail manufacturers or the manufacturer that, that sell through the retail outlets, they have their own trade names.
So clethodim resistance come about, what, 2 years ago? When did we really first start seeing the select resistance?
I think 16 was the first year that got a lot of calls about it. And naturally, this stuff doesn't happen all at once. I think the selecting for clethodim resistance, we did it just the same way we did glyphosate resistance, just with the not many options. I mean, all the work that we've done on ryegrass, and we've, like I said, been working on it since before I was even here, we just don't have any herbicide options, man. You know, the labeled options, we definitely have more residual herbicides that are labeled relative to the post options. But I mean, once this stuff comes out of the ground, you're down to clethodim or paraquat in our geography that work well, and that's not a lot of good options when you're trying to do stuff in the wintertime.
So if you've got to develop a program for one general ryegrass management going into 2019, it's 2018, right? Yeah. I never know what day it is. That's going right into 2019, what are you going to tell people to do? And don't give me the book. Go see the book that we're going to print. Tell me what Jason Bond would do on Jason Bond's farm if he's got one scenario, ryegrass eat up across the field, and second scenario, maybe some over in the corner, but it ain't really got out there far enough.
Well, and I think that's an important point to make, Bobby. There's two different things going on there. In the scenario where you have a bad problem, so say the majority of the field is, you know, you've got that population present, I think you got to get aggressive with it and use multiple passes, you know, whether it's tillage or whether it's herbicides. And along with that, a big difference between ryegrass and a weed like palm amaranth is if you do get aggressive with it, it doesn't make near the volume of seed as that Palmer does, so you can get ahead of it. So you can get after it hard for 2 or 3 years, and then, you know, scale back on that investment, and you're not investing as much money in it, but you also have the population beat down. So in that scenario, I would definitely encourage somebody, you know, all the data that we have says it's a two-pass program minimum. So whether you take out that first flush in the fall with a late tillage, so cotton works well, you know, because our tillage just airs later just with the harvest date. It's a little bit more difficult behind corn or soybeans. But taking out that first flush with either the final tillage pass or your fall residual herbicide and then cleaning up the escapes in the spring, that's everything we've done says that's the optimum, you know, herbicide program. Now, in the second scenario you posed, where maybe, you know, it's a patch here and a patch there, you know, spot spraying, unless you know exactly where it's at, sometimes spot spraying can kind of make you look silly, you know, because you'll spray everywhere you think you have it, and then it'll show up, you know, you'll have patches that you missed. So I've never been a big advocate of spot spraying, but I don't know that you need to go just full bore aggressive given the cost of some of these treatments if you don't have a problem all the way across the field, if that makes sense.
It does. And does it make sense that if I'm going into corn, I'm on a spot spray versus if I was going into soybeans, I might let her go?
Well, and that's also, you know, a point that needs to be made here. the difference between the potential yield loss in corn versus soybeans is not even close. So we got to have rye. If you have ryegrass in a field that's going to be corn, everything we've ever done says that you're money ahead if you control it and have it completely controlled, you know, well in advance of planting. So the two numbers that we have there is, one, the benefit to cost ratio for controlling ryegrass in front of corn planting is 13-1. So for every dollar we spend on herbicide, we get $13 back in corn yield.
Now, what dollars were those? 2018 dollars or?
No, sir. Those were like 2013 dollars on flat planted dry land corn.
Yeah, so those dollars are a lot bigger today.
Yeah, for sure. With soybeans, there's not so much a yield hit. I mean, there is if the population is extreme, and definitely in some of those bad patches. The problem with soybeans has been maturity, delay in maturity. So with back to the corn, the other part that I left out was, so we had that humongous benefit to cost ratio, but then two, we know that we've got to have it dead at least 21 days in front of planting to avoid any kind of yield loss with the stubble that's there.
Ouch. So that means that ryegrass has to be pretty much 100% dead by the last week of February for our corn planting systems
here.
Yeah,
and so then depending on the treatment means it's got to be sprayed pretty soon after the first of the year.
And depending on weather conditions, we get a little bit tricky. So it's almost safe to say that very few instances that you wouldn't lose yield to ryegrass and corn, just the way we're set up to operate.
Well, and I think for corn, a field that you know in the fall is going to be corn, and I know there's always acres that flex in and out, depending on things that go on during the winter. But if you know a field is going into corn definitely, and it also definitely has a history of ryegrass problem, then I think because of what I just described, I think that fall treatment justifies itself on those acres.
Okay, so that's where we're at on corn acres. We've talked about soybean acres. We've hit a little bit about rice. We're going to have an awful lot of cotton left next year to be planted because cotton acres are going up. What do we know about cotton and ryegrass?
It's pretty tolerant. I say among the four major row crops in Mississippi. I know you don't like me calling rice a row crop, but it falls in the category with corn and soybeans and cotton.
We planted in a straight line.
Cotton's probably as, you know, resistance, not the right word, but, you know, it takes competition from ryegrass as well as soybeans, if not maybe a little bit better. And we've got less data on that, but just observational plus the little bit of data we do have says that.
All right, so wrapping up here, if I'm growing some cotton, corn, and soybeans, I might have, you know, a few acres of rice out there. But talking about a whole farm management plan, what I think I hear you saying is treat your corn acres first, worry about everything else second, maybe rice second, or where do you go?
Well, rice is definitely sensitive to competition from ryegrass. I mean, we've documented up to a 20% yield hit, some pretty significant delays in maturity too. A big difference between rice and corn, one is the soil texture. Ryegrass is less common on some of the soil textures we grow rice on, so the heavy clays, but we definitely have ryegrass on some of the clays.
We've seen it on those
sure.
before.
And then, two, you know, the planting date can be different depending on, you know, if it's early planted rice, but you can have some difference in planting date. And so then you, with that difference in planting date, you got more opportunity for some burn down treatments in the spring. But the other thing about rice is your fall treatments are basically non-existent. I mean, you have the option of Command, but it's really expensive.
The option of Command.
Yeah. And you know, rotation-wise, that's all you can use. And I don't know that we've ever sprayed a drop of it in front of a rice crop for ryegrass.
Do you really want to use Command in the fall and then Command in the spring? Because if we lose Command...
Well, but you're going after two different targets. You know, you're not a Command treatment in the fall. you're not going to touch much barnyard grass with it just because it's not coming up. So I'm not as concerned about that as I am the price.
Okay, so say for any of these crops, really, and not to digress off what you were saying, but we have a lot of people that flood for ducks. What does winter flooding do? Could you almost use that as a barrier?
For sure, yeah. On a flooded field, you know, ryegrass is likely not going to survive that. You know, you may have a plant or two survive where it gets its head up above the water. That would probably fall down to temperature, how cold it stays. But, you know, if there's none up at the point that flood's established for waterfowl in the winter, yeah, it should be slick when you bring the water off.
Awesome. So there are cultural practices outside of applying a herbicide that we can control ryegrass with. You talked about tillage. You talked about winter flooding. So although we are, you know, resistant and down to limited modes of action for ryegrass, we could use some cultural practices too and maybe help out the situation.
Yeah, and then speaking of cultural practice, you know, cover crops are an option. We're still working through that, trying to get a package, so to speak, together on how cover crops factor into suppressing ryegrass. Don't have a real good handle on that. But, you know, for right now, for fall treatments, you know, it's pretty much going to be a herbicide-based program. It's either going to usually – it's going to be a Zidua-based program, you know, either Zidua itself or some of the products that have Zidua in it, or some kind of metolachlor. So dual boundary, you know, something like that is where we usually fall choosing a fall herbicide treatment. Of course, then that's all got to have paraquat with it, you know, to control any plants that are up.
And like you said earlier, it's a two-pass system.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, that was all about Ryegrass 101. We hope to bring you more podcasts in the future, probably talking about ryegrass again. Jason, you got anything you want to add before we shut it down?
No, I mean, you know, what I tell people, because everybody wants to know when to put the stuff out, you know, if they do choose to use a fall treatment, I say, you know, about the middle of October, look at your 10-day forecast, and if your forecast, you know, if there's no rain imminent, then wait. You know, give it another week and then go back and check. But if it's October the 15th and there's a 90% chance of rain on the 18th, 19th, and 20th, I think you got to pull the trigger and go ahead and make that application. Otherwise, the later you wait, the better off you are for weed control. But again, you got to be able to get the stuff out, and the weather's going to dictate that.
And you also want to go to the deer camp.
So. Well, for sure, you want to be done by November.
All right, guys. Well, if you have anything else, if you have any questions, if you need to know how to kill ryegrass, call Jason. Don't call me. But if you got any other questions.
Or call Bobby and ask him, and that'll keep him on his toes. Plus, he's not doing anything else. So,
man, we're slinging fertilizer out left and right now. We're doing plenty of stuff, I guarantee. So had fun talking to you guys today. Give us a shout if you need anything.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.